Welcome to the sixth edition of the G20 Report from Toronto for June 26, 2010. The G20 Report is your daily rundown of resistance to the G8 and G20 summits, produced by the Alternative Media Center. Friday marked the fifth day of demonstrations against the G20 under the banner Justice for Our Communities, bringing together thousands of people.
In this podcast, we will hear the voices of those fighting against poverty, ableism, and borders, as well as highlights of speeches that were given during the march. We'll also bring you a report from a Toronto courthouse regarding the use of the sound cannon. Finally, we'll go to the film studio turned jail and hear what people have to say about arrests that were made throughout the day.
First up, the police began their day by illegally searching the bags of many people who tried to enter into Allan Gardens Park, the convergence site of the day's demonstration.
Well, if you're not going to take them out, I will do it. So take your pick. We're just here to ensure that everyone's safety, sir.
Today or no?
So just to begin with, can you tell us your name?
Ian French.
Okay. And where are you from?
I came from Vancouver.
Okay. Are you here with any particular organization
No.
or group? Okay. Can you tell us what just happened to you?
I tried to enter the park. I've been in here for the last 2 hours, went to buy cigarettes, tried to come back into the park. These fine gentlemen asked if they could look through my bag. I said I do not consent to a search and was told that if I went into the park, I would be arrested for trespassing.
Can you tell me your name?
Candace Rennick.
Okay, and are you here with an organization?
Yes, with CUPE.
Okay, great. Can you just tell us what just happened with the police here?
So we had our flags, and they asked us, the police asked us to remove our flags from the poles so that the poles couldn't be used as weapons. And so we've complied, and we've taken our flags off the poles, and we're returning our poles to the car.
How does that make you feel that they're not allowing flag poles in?
Well, it's a little bit frustrating, for sure. I mean, there are flags, and we're obviously not really going to be able to fly our flags without our poles, but, you know, what do you do?
Okay, sir, we have explained to you the position. If you want to take it one step above me, I'll even get my boss to draw the line in the sand for you once again.
Oh, so you're going to just freely, flagrantly violate people's rights?
That's your opinion.
How is it my opinion? It's rights.
I agree.
There is no line in the sand. The line in the sand is a right.
There is, sir.
Is a right. And I have a right to enter a public space without being violated.
You have a right to enter the public space under the terms that we've given you. That's the end.
Oh, your legal terms that you've given me.
Well, sir, I guess that's up for debate later. But today, right now, as it stands, those are the rules. And if we are incorrect, and it's found out to be incorrect, then we'll apologize profusely and it goes from there.
Oh, so you just do whatever you want to and deal with it later.
That's not the case.
That's just what, no, that's exactly what you said to me.
Well, anyways,
that is
like
exactly
you,
what
sir,
you said to
like
me.
I said, sir, the procedure's over.
How is it over? These are my rights. These are my rights as a citizen. I can enter a public space at any point I want to without my rights being violated. And you're telling me if I want to enter into this park, my rights will be violated. And you're going to deal with the consequences later.
Here's John Clark of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty speaking at the beginning of Friday's march, followed by Syed Hassan of No One Is Illegal.
Let's understand that when we struggle with the eyes of the world on Toronto this weekend, let it be clear that we are not just fighting for people here in Toronto and in Ontario. We are fighting as part of a world movement of social resistance. I would like to think that people in Greece will look and see that in Toronto too, people stand up and fight alongside them. I would like to think that workers who are going on strike this week in France and Italy will look to the example of Toronto and say, by God, even in Canada, these people take up a fight. They must be worth something. I would like to think that right now, on some flickering internet screen in some hellhole dormitory in a sweatshop in Guangdong province of China, workers are gathered around and saying, their fight is our fight, we fight together. And I would like to think that right now, somewhere behind the inhuman blockade of Gaza, Palestinians know that we stand in solidarity with them.
Yeah!
Around the world, the G8 and the G20 policies push people out of their homes. We're made homeless. We cannot eat food from the communities we live in. Many of us are pushed out from villages into cities, and then the few migrate. They arrive here, and we are treated as disposable labor, as immigrants, as non-status communities. And for years, my organization, Migrants in the City, have fought back. And when we fight back at the site that it attacks us at. We will be at the police lines. We will be at the fences. We will be at the borders that displace us, that shut us down. And so today, as we tent city, as we hang out here and we party, we are also here to talk amongst ourselves, to talk about the kinds of world we want to live in, to build and create and share the transformative visions we have. And we do so with anger, and we do so with hope, and we do so with the absolute certainty that we will win.
We interviewed various people who came out to find out why they took to the streets.
Okay, well, I'll say I think people with disabilities, due to policy, are some of the most vulnerable people in our city. And an organization of the elite, rich, and powerful is a perfect opportunity to say that we're going to fight back, not take it sitting down.
Can I get your name?
Kelly.
Great, thanks.
As a Jewish support, I'm obviously have a Jewish voice. I have been involved for many years in Palestine solidarity work. Coming out of a Zionist background, I'm thrilled to be here to see the numbers of people who understand. Like 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that many people with Palestinian flags. And I'm thrilled to see how it is now part and parcel of the movement, this very important movement that is building.
And so why did you decide to come out today?
I'll tell you, I was not really expecting to come out on anything related to this, but when I heard the amount of money that was being spent on security and heard what they were doing, I was so enraged that I thought I had to do something. So I came today to see it, to be part of it, and to support it.
And can I get your name?
My name is Judith Weissman.
Super, thank you. So if you wanted to start by just telling me your name.
Okay, I'm Monica Forster, a sex worker of Toronto. I'm here to support SWATS, the Sex Workers Alliance of Toronto. And we're here to join in with many other groups here around, you know, awareness of what's going on in the city around the G20 summit and how people are affected, and you know, also bringing a presence to other people in and around the city.
And why do you think it's important as sex workers to come together and join this march?
Well, we're all workers. We all work in our, you know, we have to survive. This is a form of work for many sex workers. And I think it's important that we be recognized and visible with many other people that are dealing with poverty issues, homelessness, retaliation against police, and, you know, just other things that oppress many groups that are here.
And in terms of sex workers, what are the issues and the barriers that you're facing right now?
What are the issues? Police is a big issue around women working the streets, not being able to work, controlling them, pushing them into unsafe areas, and also decriminalizing prostitution, but also bringing sex workers forward in that situation and making sure that it's what we want, not what they want.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Earlier today, the Ontario Superior Court ruled that the use of sound cannons must be limited by the police. Alessandra Renzi brings us more on the story.
Sound cannons are likely to be used for the first time in Canada during the G20 weekend summit in Toronto, after police were given the green light Friday morning by a provincial judge. Judge David Brown ruled Toronto police would have to conform to the protocol of the Ontario Provincial Police, meaning they will be able to use the sound cannons from a distance of 75 instead of 22 meters, and use the ear-piercing alert function for 2 to 4 second bursts every 30 seconds.
We will continue to try to bring a little bit the media attention to this, because I think we should not stand back. This is the police state. That, look, it's like the War Measures Act being implemented in secret just for the weekend. It's inappropriate. It's overboard. We should react.
This is Nathalie Derossier, General Counsel of the Canadian Civil Liberty Association, CCLA, which filed the application for an injunction against the use of the sonic cannons.
Our position continues to be that these are to be regulated. We cannot have the police deciding for itself what new technology they will use on citizens without an appropriate framework.
The sonic cannons have not been subject to independent scientific testing, have never been used before by a Canadian police force, and were expressly not used during the Vancouver Olympics. Alessandra Renzi and Martin Lukasz from the Toronto High Court.
We finished today's daily podcast on G20 resistance with a report by Tim McSorley and Sheila Kinney on the arrests of the day.
In wake of detainment and accusations of police harassment and abuse of protesters, around 25 people were still gathered on Eastern Avenue at midnight Friday night. They were outside recently converted Toronto film studios, made into a temporary prison specifically for G20 detainees. Of particular concern was the situation facing Momo Timmy, a deaf-mute man who was arrested while crossing the street next to the large demonstration in Allen Gardens earlier on Friday.
Graham was one of the 24 people standing across the street from the surreal scene of police guarding a towering building with film studios and Hollywood signage across the front.
Oh, I got here at about 8:45 or so tonight. The arrest happened at about 4 this afternoon outside College Park. It was a young deaf-mute man, and the thing is, there was somebody there who could interpret for him. The cops refused this young man access. Apparently, they took him down really hard, beat him, cuffed his hands behind his back. So that made it impossible for him to communicate, because ASL, you need your hands. And he was cuffed, so that made it impossible for him to communicate. And they were saying, oh, he was lying, that he could read lips and all that stuff. But so, I mean, like, just total discrimination about towards anybody with a disability in this case. It was just sickening.
Shane Martinez was also at the jail solidarity action, giving updates of Timmy's situation inside the cavernous jail as he received them from legal defense.
Arresting him. He's being charged right now with assault police. It's a completely bogus charge. I think people need to keep an open mind about this and realize that this is a very, very weak attempt by the police in Toronto right now to justify this, you know, $1 billion security budget that has been expended, right? It's past midnight now, and a lawyer's only now being allowed in, and they're still not allowing an ASL interpreter in to communicate with him so that he can communicate properly with his lawyer. And so there, what the police are offering is, they're saying, okay, yeah, you know what? We have duty counsel in here who can sit down with a Momo Timmy and speak to him. No problem. You know what? He can go and talk to duty counsel, and we have the interpreters here as well. And it's like, yeah, so you want him to go down and talk to his lawyer in front of a cop.
Right.
It's insanity, right? It's completely unacceptable. It's ridiculous. And it's something that we want to stop right now.
More solidarity activists were on the way to the prison at midnight. People there vowed to stay until Timmy was released.
This edition of the G20 Report was produced by Amy Miller and Aaron Lakoff at the Alternative Media Center in downtown Toronto. Tune in tomorrow for the next edition.